B-Pod Studios.
Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash fools everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's championship week. It's the Over Under podcast. We're back. We'll get into every single game, all the championship games, and kind of lay out potentially what the college playoff could be, Dan. Without looking at the odds, right now, are your four teams pretty much the same as everybody else? Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC?
So that would be my four as of right now. Not really a surprise, right? But I'll say this. If TCU loses, do you have them getting in? I know we talked about this on Saturday with obviously the way things played out. Do you still have them getting in if they lose?
So no. I've been criticized, Dan, for some of my comments on this, so I'd like to get your thought. I think if USC beats Utah and TCU beats Kansas State, I think USC has a legit chance of being the third seed. They're a one-loss team. I know.
Probably not, just because of the fact that they're undefeated. I don't think it's as crazy of a take as some people do, but I don't think they're going to end up getting that seed. And I just unfortunately don't.
And the only reason why is I'll bring up Cincinnati, who is undefeated, who is the fourth seed compared to other teams who aren't. So I just want to bring that factor up. And I'm trying to think now, they were the fourth seed. They played Alabama. They hung around and then got smoked. Anyways, here's the other question. What if hypothetically someone loses? And let me give you Michigan as an example. This is all for debate. If Michigan lost to Purdue in the Big Ten championship game.
Yep.
And TCU won and USC won. Who would you then put as the fourth seed?
If Michigan lost, TCU won, and USC won.
I think
I go Michigan. Now, it would be close because I do think that at that point you would have to really consider Ohio State. But I think I would go Michigan for the sole fact that the head-to-head is going to matter more than the resume. And I know how bad their non-conference resume was. The worst, I mean, maybe the worst we've ever seen, Joe. They're just being 100% honest. Like, maybe the worst we've ever seen. That being said, I still think that, unfortunately, you know, that is going to be, you know, that's not going to be as much of a factor as the head-to-head. So I do think that the head-to-head will matter just a little bit more in that scenario.
So the reason why I think Ohio State would be an option is because their only losses to Michigan where Michigan's losses to Purdue.
Sure, but the fact is that it would be that their loss, Joe, would be a head-to-head loss. So regardless of Michigan loses to Purdue or not, they still already beat them head-to-head. So they're getting in. Barring something insane, they're getting in because they beat them head-to-head. So it really doesn't ultimately matter whether, you know, whose loss is to who. They beat the head-to-head is what really matters at the end. And so they'll get in. So I understand your point.
What are the odds right now?
So I don't have them in front of me. I can pull them up here. But, I mean, look, what I think is going to be is it's really going to come down to, you know, the odds this weekend, right? And the odds this weekend are going to have a big difference. So here's what we have for the winner of the national championship, not the end of the playoffs, the winner of the national championship at DK. Georgia minus 155, Michigan plus 290, Ohio State 10-1.
Wow.
USC 12-1, TCU 12-1, Alabama 30-1. And I do think those are the only six teams that can get in.
Look at that. How is do people – Ohio State's got better odds than TCU, and Ohio State's not even in it.
Well, I think if Ohio State did make it in, I think people would expect Ohio State to have a better chance of winning than TCU. And I think that's the reasoning right there.
How about that Alabama long shot?
So we talked about this last week, right? I don't think it's going to happen, but it's not totally inconceivable. There's a possibility that it does happen. There is. I mean, again, I think that it's crazy. I think that it would be insane if it did. But there really is a possible chance that this would go, that this would happen. So, yeah, you know, it's not the craziest thing in the world. Look, I think if TCU or USC loses, I think they're the team in. And I think you're talking about, you know, what, USC open is a 1-point favorite, TCU open is a 1.5-point favorite. Like, we're not talking about these big faves this weekend. We're talking about, you know, basically 50-50 shots in the game here. So I think it's very possible that, you know, Ohio State gets in.
Yeah, here's what my thinking on that is. I think if everyone just does their job, TCU wins, Michigan wins, and USC and TCU, they all do their job. They're in. That's it. All they got to do is win their games and they're in. But it does get funky because we are in a four-team playoff. And all those playoff rankings, when they come out, they are going to look at the full body of work. So I actually think they should leave out Ohio State and Alabama this year, Dan. And as a non-betting take, isn't it funny that potentially the top two quarterbacks are not in the college playoff, like going into next year's draft? And I was trying to make a case about the 2021 class sucking really bad, and then Trevor Lawrence had a good day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I heard the same thing from all the Trevor Lawrence people at the beginning of the year. How's that working out for you? One or two games, and now all of a sudden we're going to – I mean, didn't we just go through this with Justin Fields, right? Like, don't overreact. Like, you got to – it has to be more than a singular game for these guys. It has to be.
Yeah. Everyone, he had his coming out party then. But yeah, all right. Well, we'll leave it at that then. There are your odds.
Now we can talk about a couple new coaching hires. Auburn hires Hugh Freeze today, Joe, from Liberty.
Huh?
Yeah, officially. I apologize, but Nebraska hires Matt Rule. So, first off, what are your thoughts on the two hires? Do you like either one more than the other? Et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I think Freeze bailed out of his contract, and here he is now. He's the right hire. He's the right hire. Matt Rule, I sniffed that one out a while back. He knows the area. A lot of money. Maybe that's his spot. Maybe he's long-term there. What else is going on? So Lane Kiffin looks like he's staying. So that means – yes. I mean – And then the other one is, how about Luke Fickell?
Oh, that's right. I forgot. And obviously, Fickell goes to Wisconsin. So I guess out of three, which one do you like the most? Which one do you like the least? Any thoughts on where the futures go here? I'll straight up tell you, number one for me, Joe, I hate the Fickell hire. Hate it. I don't think it's going to work.
I like Jim Leonard.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't understand the Fickell hire. I just don't. I don't think he's a bad coach by any means, but I think he had the right guys around him. I think he put together a pretty good program. And then when it came to this year, doing it without those guys again, he wasn't able to repeat the success. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't do it, but long term, I know Fickell has done it more than once there. I just have serious questions about whether the guy is a right fit for a major program. That's all. And I just personally don't know if I believe that he is the right fit.
Yeah. So Hugh Freeze, I like. I like the move. I think they need an injection of talent, and I think he can do that. He's had a lot of experience in those areas. Matt Rhule, I'm interested in, man. But yeah, the Fickell hire, there's got to be something going on with Cincinnati, maybe. I don't know. But has he maxed out? Like, is he maxed out at Cincinnati? It's just Cincinnati to Wisconsin. But he is a guy that always produces pretty good running backs and running games. So it actually, if you look at the way that he's had good quarterbacks, even this year he had a good quarterback. But he doesn't. I don't know if he's going to have that in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I would. I mean, first off, I think he'll have a good running back. That's
all
they have there, you know. But I mean, yeah, just in general, I'm a little bit surprised about where this ended up with Fickell. I just, you know, again, I think that he is an interesting hire there. You know, again, can he create a program? Yes, I do think that he can. Will he? That's, to me, that's the real question is, will he create that program again? And, you know, I don't know. I don't have the biggest belief in a guy like Fickell long-term. I know he was great last year. I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested. I'm doubtful, but I'm not going to say no. I love the Hugh Freeze hire. I think Freeze is the best hire. And then when it comes to who am I blanking on right now? When it comes to Rhule, I guess, with Nebraska. So Rhule to me with Nebraska is it's probably a home run. I think Rhule to me is a college guy. Like, I think that's who he is. I think that's who he's going to be. I don't think he's ever going to be a pro guy. He just doesn't – he has this weird raw shit around him, and I don't think that really works well at the next level. I think it's a weird kind of like thing. And, again, a lot of these guys have it. They just can't cut it because they're – you know, there were born recruiters that, you know, they get kids to rally around them. It's not the same. So to me, Rhule kind of fits into that category. I think he'll be a great hire for Nebraska. I think it's going to take them a bit longer. They have a lot of work to do there. Not just the offensive staff or defensive staff, but the kid, they have to cycle in a ton of kids. Maybe the transfer portal helps, but the transfer portal has not been as reliable as a lot of people thought it would be. So let's see. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying, I think it's going to take a little bit longer than people think with Rhule, but I think ultimately that one is going to be a good hire. Again, most doubtful about Fickell, and I think Freeze has the most upside.
All right, then let's move on. Let's get into championship week, and before we do that, let's just knock out Akron and Buffalo. They're going to play Friday. This is a makeup game. So, Dan, I feel like Buffalo only lost last week because I was on them. They had a huge lead, and they blew it, and it was bad. So now they got a makeup game against Akron, who won, Dan. I actually almost did a dance for you. Akron's 11.5. It was 16. Have you seen that number at all? Or have you only seen 11.5?
Yeah. Oh, no. Well, it definitely wasn't 11.5. I know, because I took 14 this morning, 14 minus 115. This morning. I'll see what the opening number was on Circa. If I remember correctly, I think it was 13.5.
Yeah, it's 11.5.
Right, Circa now, opened 13. There was no 16 ever. So if there was a 16, maybe FanDuel, or I think DraftKings may have had it at some point. But like, yeah, I think they had like 18.5, like whatever, like a couple, you know, but you couldn't get that much. So the real opener to me was 13. It was up to 13.5 some places. I took 14 minus 115 today at a PPH site, and then that crashed down and got hit a little bit harder. The rumor on Buffalo, and again, this is just a rumor, nothing confirmed, but the rumor on Buffalo, Joe, is that there's going to be a lot of guys missing for Buffalo. So here's the deal kind of with this game. Because of when it's being played, December 2nd, there's all these teams that have 6 wins. Well, there's only so many teams that can get in a bowl game. So, for instance, like, if you have 6 wins, it doesn't automatically make you in a bowl game. It just makes you bowl eligible. There's a lot of bowls who want to fill up and want to do all this stuff. Now, some of them are going to wait for conference championships, but all these teams in the conference championships already have bowls. So you know that there's already bowls looking at them or trying to get them for specific slots. A team like Buffalo, no one's vying for Buffalo. That's not a team that people are like, oh, fighting for. Like, you know, UTSA might actually be a draw. Like, Toledo this year might be a draw, et cetera, et cetera. No one gives a flying fuck about Buffalo or what the fuck they've done. So they might not, even if they win their 6th game, Joe, the rumor on the street is they might not even get a bowl game. because of this whole scenario and the way that it's playing out. So I would not be shocked if you see a ton of guys sit this game. It's definitely possible that we don't see a lot of these guys. And, you know, after the last game, kind of a letdown, you know, they didn't really have anything to play. You know, I guess they could have been bowl eligible, to be fair. But now they're going to play this game. We'll see. I would not be shocked, Joe, if we see a ton of backups and very little motivation out of this Buffalo team. And that's why I played the number. And it looks like that information has been getting out, obviously, with a pretty sizable drop of where it is right now. So, yeah, well, let's see what happens here. But I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't play Buffalo this week. Me personally, I wouldn't play Buffalo. I think it's the one team on the board that you looked there, that you kind of looked on the schedule there and say, oh, well, I have to. It's the one game of the question motivation this week. The only team, basically. I guess you can make question Akron's motivation too if you want, but you know, I think the you know it's the one game you really have to be weary of the motivational factor.
All right, man. Let's move it along a little bit here. And now we're back into the championship weeks. And we have North Texas and UTSA in the Conference USA Championship game. Not me.
What is that?
I don't know. Anyways, that must have been an ad on something I was looking at. I have three screens. I have three screens up too. Let's see. So UTSA North Texas. Look at this matchup here. UTSA is here. UTSA finished 10-2 with a big comeback win last week. I've been impressed with them, Dan. They're 8-point favorites. They came back to win UTEP, but they scored like 20 points in the second half though. So it was a pretty good comeback win. I know that they beat Rice the week before that. Like, you look at some of the teams they played, and you're like, meh, right? UTSA, Rice. Sorry, yeah, Rice, La Tech. So, yeah, not really impressive in their losses. For the most part this year were, they beat North Texas earlier. And I'm just trying to see who they lost to. Texas. That was a bad loss. They got beat up. Anyways, long story short here, North Texas can run the football. Can they keep the ball out of UTSA's hands and run on them?
So this was a game that both these teams really disappointed this week. Neither team covered. Both of them had a win in final, you know, couple-minute games there between the UTEP win and the Rice win. I was really hoping North Texas would actually lose. I would have hit a pretty decent middle on their win total. I had 7.5 and 6.5. Sorry, 7.5 and 6. But unfortunately, that did not happen. Sorry, 7.5 and 7, excuse me. And that, unfortunately, that did not happen. But anyways, just to give you an idea, look, I think that this is a pretty decent team. You know, that in regards to North Texas, I think they're, you know, offensively on the road, they're certainly different than what they were at home this year. I think that was kind of the clinching factor. You saw them versus teams like UNLV early in the year, the non-conference games, so they really struggled. Against UTSA, they had a pretty good game plan. I think this is going to be a pretty good game. Now, this one did open 9, went down to 8. It was 8 places all yesterday. Back up to 8.5 today. You know, I really don't have a true lean on this one right now. I guess, you know, I made the game 8.5, which I think is 8.5 is pretty much the number. I made the game a little bit higher on the total. I made it 68. So there was 65.5 was the opener at Circa. I ended up taking some 66. It's now 67.5. I don't love anything else in this game, Joe. I think this is one I might try and play live. I think this is probably going to be a bit of a revenge game for North Texas. Neither of these teams played very well last week. It was pretty much a look ahead for both teams, in my opinion. And honestly, wish I had played Rice on the spread. But yeah, both of these teams, I think this one's going to be really hard to bet pregame, personally. I lean North Texas, I guess, but I – very, very, very small, more of a motivational factor, or more of a rent factor.
I slowly lean over because I feel like UTSA could score fast, where North Texas is always going to chase, chase, chase. Only thing I hope is they don't go away from their running game when they do that.
I mean, they have a quick strike offense, Joe. They can score pretty quickly if they want to. That's certainly not a problem for this team.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right now is 67.5 is what I see on that one right now, currently. All right, this one's big. It's a Pac-12 championship game, which features Utah instead of, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
Who lost to Oregon State, choked it away.
Yeah. Corvallis will choke you, man.
It certainly will. But so USC's -3. It's a solid 3. I thought they might be more than that, Dan, personally. I've watched Utah play in these type of games, Dan. They get tight. I remember just a few years ago, that Oregon game. I won't forget. If it comes down to the quarterback, I know who I like. I love the coach of Utah. I think he's a great coach. And could they attack that USC defense? They can. I don't know if USC is going to lose this one, dude. The way that Caleb, Caleb Williams is playing right now, and the way he's running the football, you thought that when Dye got hurt for USC, they'd be worse, and they're not. I love the kid Kincaid. I think he can be a problem for USC's secondary. It's just going to come down to me. I think USC's just got a little bit more of an athletic quarterback in the end.
Yeah, so here we are. I mean, this is the game that a lot of people predicted in the new year, before the year started. Maybe one of the squarer conferences this year. I thought Oregon would make it in over Utah. Utah loses to Oregon, but Oregon can't close out against Oregon State, and that's the reason they're not here. I like USC. I was kind of higher on USC than people were early in the preseason. One of the teams I did get right. This one opened 3 in Circa, dipped down immediately down to 2. And then some places got down to 1. I was able to get some USC -2 and even a little bit of money line. So, look, I think personally at 3, I don't think I'd play this game. I think that that's right where the number should be. Again, look, a little bit of a revenge factor here, right? I think USC probably is going to play a little bit better defensively on a neutral site field. Comparatively to being in Utah. And again, these are all neutral site games with the exception of that Akron game. These are all neutral site games. So, you know, it is going to be the Sun Belt Championship is in Troy this year. The Boise game is in Boise. But, you know, for the most part, these are all neutral site games. I do think that that's going to be a big, obviously, edge for USC. I think without Dye, they've kind of changed the way that they play offensively, Joe. They can kind of beat you both ways, right? They didn't beat Notre Dame in a quick strike offense for most of the game. I know they did early, but most of the game wasn't quick strike. It was heavy blow, but slow blow. It was not a killer type game. I think we're going to see this very similar type game with USC, Notre Dame, as we saw with Utah, Notre Dame. I'm sorry, USC Notre Dame there. I think Utah can play a similar style game that USC kind of played. And I do think that, you know, again, we're going to see just two ridiculous offenses. Everyone's going to be on this over, right? And I do think that it's pretty interesting where this number opened. 65.5, I think, was the opening. 66.5. It's now at 67. So I had the game exactly at 67. That's exactly where I make it. Personally, I actually think it's probably going to be an under game. These games usually are not as offensive as most people think. These crazy, big, high-pressure bowl games. This is a huge game for USC. It's a win and you're in. And now it's basically going to be 3 straight games, win and you're in. And then once they're in, then you got to win again. So I don't feel great about this one, Joe. You know, again, I have a little bit of USC, as I said. I got -2, some money line. Probably going to come back in Utah, maybe if there's a 3.5. We're seeing USC already -3, -120 in the market. So I think there's a possibility we'll see 3.5 later in the week. But, you know, I do think that a lot of people are going to be on this over. I think it's going to get a little bit higher. If it gets to 68.5, 68, might take some under in this. I just think at 3, that's the right number on the side. I don't have a great a tremendous lean here. What are your thoughts on this game?
I just go back to the last game. It came down to, you know, 43-42, but the difference was just, you know, Caleb Williams threw for 5 touchdowns and they still lost. So, you know, and they had Dye in that game. So, like, I just look at it here as the biggest thing in that last matchup was penalties for USC. I think they know they beat themselves, man. I think they should be favored. They have a lot to lose here. And again, the court and Risen played well, threw for 415 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, and I mentioned the big tight end was really good. The kid Kincaid, I think he's really good. But I don't know. Does he get doubled? Do they try to find somebody else that gets open in these games? Right now, I like USC, Dan, and I kind of have a lean with you on that under 67. I think it's going to be more of a controlled game.
Yeah, look, I think USC is going to have to double Kincaid. Like, how many yards did he have in the first game? Like, I know it was like over 200 yards. I know that 242. I don't know, 234. I mean, that's fucking insane. Like, he had 16 receptions, 234 yards, and a touchdown. You have to take him out. You have to take him out. And honestly, if that means you have to, you know, you get beat by some other guys, so be it. But you just can't allow that guy to beat you for 250 yards again. Like, you can't allow that if you're USC. And I know defensively they're not the same. You know, I do think if it gets into this crazy high-scoring game, Joe, like we saw last time, I think Utah will win this game. I do. I think it will be the same type of thing. USC is going to have to play a different style of ball game, in my opinion, to win. I expect them to do that. But, again, 3 to me is the right number. I would not be going out crazy, going on the limb for anything else other than a 3.
All right, dude. Let's move it on. Going to our next game here, we have LSU, Georgia. I don't know. Has LSU packed it in? Did they get their big win over Alabama and they're happy? Like, can LSU even move the ball against that defense the way that they struggled in? That's so I don't necessarily love, you know, betting 17.5 as a favorite or even getting the points. I'd look at 51 a little bit, though. Do you feel like that's low in this game?
So, a little bit. I made the game 52, but again, with a lot of these games, especially in neutral sites, Joe, I like to go under. So, to me, I made the game 52, but I probably wouldn't bet over at anything, you know, above 49. Like, I think that would probably be my cutoff for this game. I think it opens circa 48.5, right? Interesting number. But it probably would have gone 49, would have been my over. But I don't think I'd bet anything else over that. I think, and even at 51, I know my number is 52. I think I go under here. Again, another game. Look, we saw what Georgia can do to an offense that maybe is a little bit reeling at times and really stifle them. And that was, in my opinion, Tennessee a better offense than what Georgia has. At the same time, like, how many times have we questioned Georgia this year? Like, you know, outside of that Tennessee game, and they dominated that game, but even though they only won by 14, like, you know, the Oregon game, the Tennessee game, like, this is a team that struggled with Kent State. They struggled with Missouri in back-to-back weeks. You know, they didn't look like world beaters at Kentucky the other week, and they even struggled with Georgia Tech a little bit in the first half, you know, on Saturday. This is just a team, it's hard to have total faith in them. You know, I know LSU looked terrible. This number was 15, I think, before last week. Now we're at 17.5. I think Circa's dealing at 18 right now in LSU. Like, that's crazy. It's crazy that we're at this number off based upon the LSU loss to Texas A&M, who I thought we both liked, Joe. We both liked them. We said we can't do it, but we both liked them in that game. I don't know. To me, this number feels too high for me. I took 17.5 with LSU. I know some others did. I'm not going to PP this one. I like to see what happens during the week here. But I mean, right now I'd lean LSU. I think they're going to give Georgia a run for their money, you know, and the one thing is that Georgia didn't have like a look at game last week or didn't have a game they really had to focus on. But clearly LSU was looking ahead. It cost them big time, but Joe, I just think that This is an LSU or nothing spot for me. I think they bounced back from last week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I trust LSU. I just don't. Like, yeah, they can knock off Georgia. They can do that. But just that was a terrible performance. I can't do it. But maybe that's why 17.5 looks interesting. Just can't do it, Dan. So I'm out. But I think Georgia wins. They advance their number one, and then they'll get the fourth seed, which we'll find out who that will be. Kansas TCU. So TCU rolled. I mean, rolled. They were good. Good running game. Duggan was great. Big wide receiver. So here we go. A rematch. Kansas State TCU right now heavily favored, +2.5, or -115, I should say. So I lean over right away, 62. I think both teams are going to score. I don't think TCU has a good defense. I don't think Kansas has. I lean over 62 off the bat. It's not a PP. I just feel like it's going to get away on both sides. This is a winnable game for Kansas State. I know it is, but I just don't trust whoever the quarterback will be that day for them. And I think Deuce Vaughn can be a problem, but TCU, I think, dude, this is all or nothing for them. I know they could get knocked off. Just after that big win and some of the games they pulled out, it would be just a complete disappointment for that offense not to continue what they're doing.
All right, I'm going to give out one PP. I'm going to give out a few PPs, but this is going to be number one. Give me Kansas State +2.
No, he's doing it.
Okay, so first off, let me say, wait. Don't take this bet. Wait, you're going to see three, I think. Like, Bovada's at 2.5 -115. I think we'll see. I think FanDuel's 2.5 -115. Like, we're going to see, I think, threes. And the difference, I would just wait here, okay? But I think we're going to see it. Look, Kansas State should have beat TCU the first time. They were lucky. TCU got lucky. That's the reality of the situation. They got lucky they knocked out Adrian Martinez. They got lucky they knocked out Will Howard. They got lucky. And I just think second time around, K-State in a neutral site game in Arlington, Texas, I think they're going to have their number. I know what TCU is doing is unbelievable. I wouldn't be shocked if they win the game. But I think that this is going to be a really close, right down to the whistle game. TCU's been playing those lately, you know, at Baylor. You know, the Texas game was closer than the score represents. Like, I think this is going to be an unbelievably close game. I'm just going to take the points in that situation. So, yeah, look, I'll be straight up honest with you. We're doing the podcast on Monday. You know, it is what it is. I'm not playing 2.5. I'm going to see if I can get three. But I'm telling you, my PP for this game is 2.5. Joe, I disagree with you on the total. This is going to be an under game, okay? I think a lot of these neutral site games are going to go under. Look at the first game the first time around, right? That game probably doesn't go over, you know, if K-State has their quarterback. That game probably doesn't go over. TCU probably doesn't, you know, score what they do, and the game changes on its head. They had a lot of short fields that game. I think we see K-State pull off the upset. The question is, does a one-loss TCU get into the Final Four over one-loss Ohio State? My answer is no.
Ooh. All right, man. Right now, I just think that TCU's offense is it is really, really good at the moment. And you might be right about that, Howard. Martinez, you might be right about that. So, anyways, moving on. Clemson, North Carolina. North Carolina off a loss might have been a look ahead, right? Clemson 2. I like North Carolina. I'm not going to PP it, Dan. It's 63.5, which I don't think Clemson has the offense with DJ Uiagalelei, and that's just it. And maybe they really do miss their defensive coordinator. That was an embarrassment last week. I'm sorry. Done. So, I don't know, man. I have no real interest in the ACC championship game, Dan.
If I was going to bet this game, I'd bet over. Even at 63.5. Neither of these teams. Offensively, Clemson can put up points in North Carolina. Defensively, they're just horrendous. Vice versa. You know, Clemson's not horrendous defensively by any means, but they're just not nearly as good as people think they are, and they haven't been really the second half of the season, in my opinion. you know, ever since that Syracuse game, they've really fallen off. And I know what they did to Miami, et cetera. But yeah, this is a clear look at a game. Both these teams had clinched. Clemson pretty much knew they weren't getting into the national title chase. You know, they won last week. I still don't think they get in. So yeah, I think this is a good look at spot for them. I think Clemson covers. I'm not going to bet this game. I made it 8.5. I think it's 7.5 in the market. So I'm a little bit higher on Clemson than the market is right now. I like the total. I bet over 61.5. It's not 63.5. I would still lean over in this game. But I'll be honest with you, I'm probably not going to bet this game on the side. I do have Clemson even money to win the ACC. I'll probably just roll with that for this game. But yeah, Joe, I got to be honest with you. I think Clemson can score in this. North Carolina's defense is putrid. They've lost two in a row now. I think they can score on them pretty easily. So I'm not super concerned.
Was there an ACC team that impressed you at all?
No. No, there wasn't. I mean, I know Clemson was 8-0 in the ACC. They just lost to a bad SEC team. No, I mean, really, the answer is no. Honestly, the one that was closest to me, the one that was the most impressive to me is Florida State.
Yeah.
They
beat Florida. They didn't cover, but yeah.
They beat LSU. So, I mean, to me, that's the most impressive ACC team. I don't think there's anyone else who was even close in the ACC. I think the ACC is a horrendous conference. That's what I think.
It's, it's been bad. I mean, that actually, dude, even from the projections from some of the teams too, like Boston College and even NC State fell on their face. You know what I mean? It's just, I know they lost their quarterback, but still, you know, it's like, just, geez, what a terrible, terrible conference. All right. A little matching. Toledo versus Ohio. Based off the two teams, yes, Toledo has the more talent and the hype and the projected to be here. And, you know, they've played big teams and they can put up points. They run the football. But Ohio has been consistent on the road, at home. They've won games they shouldn't. And if you go back to this senior class, you know, they struggled for 2 years. That coach got fired. They, you know, finished off last year. And here they are now. I'm rooting for Ohio. And I know what Toledo is, Dan. But Ohio deserves this. I think they're motivated, and you know what? They might even be better. I'm going to circle it, but for right now, at +105, I'd probably take the 1.5. I think all the motivation is for Ohio.
So it's a neutral site game, which is important in this one. Toledo with Daquan Finn last week looked horrible. I think that that's factoring a lot into this decision, is that people are really looking at what they saw last week. And I just think that that's
I'm doing, though. No, this is more of an Ohio. They've just been a better team of late.
Sure. Do we know what Curtis Rourke's status is for the game?
And I don't. He ain't playing. I'm out.
I don't think he's playing. I think that he was ruled out for the season. So I'm assuming that CJ Ayers, who played very well against Bowling Green, is going to be the quarterback. I know people are really down in Toledo, especially last week. I just think it might be a slight overreaction. Like, when it comes to putting it on the line and winning a game, it feels like Toledo's the team I'd want to back in these situations. You know, again, Ohio has had a great season. Don't want to disparage anything they've done. But, you know, look, they're also a team that, you know, barely beat Florida Atlantic at home, barely beat Fordham at home. We were losing big in that game. Like, you know, had to come back against Northern Illinois. Like, they've been good, and I don't want to disparage them. I'm just saying they haven't been world beaters. You know, they're definitely more talented than people give them credit for. I don't know. This is an interesting one. The total open 56.5 is at 55. I don't think I'm going to bet this game, Joe, at least as of now right now. If I do, it's going to be Toledo. And I'm just seeing maybe if I get an even better number in Toledo than I once thought. So let's see.
Oof, that Rourke injury is that kid had he really turned it around, and he was good early on in his career too.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't think he's going to play again. He was announced out for the season. You know, again, he had a knee injury, so I think he tore his ACL. If I'm not, yeah, he tore his ACL, so he's definitely not playing.
No, I'm just saying that kid's career, man. He got his team to the championship game, though. So even though
I wanted to make sure I was right. Yeah, Rourke tore his ACL and his meniscus. Like he's not playing.
He is out. OUT 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 out.
Yep.
All right. Coastal Carolina got blown out last week, but obviously we knew why they were ready for this game. So I've watched a lot of Coastal, Dan. To me, on a motivational factor, Troy's the side with points. But the low totals, what concerns me, 48 for two teams that can play? I think over right away, but then the line. All right, so this is one of those, hey, it's a double-digit line with a semi-low total. I lean Troy early on. But the way that Coastal just no-showed last week, I know that they prepared for this. Just the number 48 on the total, I lean over for some reason right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't sound like McCall is going to play. so, I mean, that's kind of a big deal to be perfectly honest with you. It doesn't sound like he's going to play. You know, the status is unclear, but from the way the line moved, I would suspect that McCall is, you know, probably not going to play, but let's not completely rule him out. The line opened 7, 49.5. We're now at 10.5 and 48. So, yeah, look, I agree with the total move. I do. I think this is going to be an under game. It's in Troy. This is a home game for them. So, again, clear advantage there. I do think that no McCall is a massive, massive drop off for Coastal Carolina. And to me, that's ultimately the big difference here. I just think that, you know, a lot of people played Troy 6.5, 7. I know a lot of people played that. I don't think that this is I think Coastal Carolina is seemingly mentally done. They weren't even in the game last week, Joe. It never felt competitive in that game against JMU. I'd be very, very careful backing Coastal Carolina in this situation.
Exactly. It's,
Troy is extremely sharp.
I feel the same way. UCF Tulane. Tulane's favored. Total's 57. I know some people might think over right away, but I feel a tighter game. We saw what happened with UCF last week. Maybe a look ahead. I don't know. Torn here. Really torn in this game, Dan. Trying to find the value, and I don't know if it's UCF off the performance they just had, but I think Tulane, for the most part, is pretty consistent. And I don't know. Who would you say is the better quarterback?
So, I mean, better quarterback's an interesting question. You know, I think that in a big, big game, I think you'd probably rather have John Reese Plumlee. Now, what is John Reese Plumlee's status? Now, Mikey Keene came into that game, right? And he, you know, was a big part of it. I mean, you know, he kind of came in, went, you know, kind of got in, et cetera, and whatever. I don't really know what the deal is with Reese Plumlee. Like, I don't know really what his status is. Is he playing? Is he not playing? We'll kind of find out in the next couple of days here. You know, the injuries seem to be whatever, seem to be an issue. I think they took him out because they were absolutely killing them, but he never came. I don't think he came back in that game, late. I think Keene was the one who led them in the game winner there. So look, I'm very conflicted about this game. I think that if it's Plumlee, I think I'll go UCF with the points here. You know, they already played in Tulane. They already played in this stadium. And they already played this game earlier in the season. And, you know, it was a game that Tulane did win. And, you know, it was a game that UCF did win, excuse me, you know, in Tulane. And I know there's a little bit of revenge on the mind. But, look, I just think that Tulane, for being as talented as they are, like the last 2 weeks were massive must-win situations after losing to UCF. This is your classic letdown situation. And UCF already had, I mean, really barely beat South Florida last week. Felt like it was a clear look ahead to Tulane. Like, this feels like a complete and utter look ahead versus letdown. And to me, that usually favors the team like UCF. I played UCF +3.5. I'm not going to PP it, but that's where I would go with my money personally. The total 56.5. I didn't really have a good take on the total. I made the total much lower, much higher than this. Excuse me. I made it 60. So I'm trying to think. I'm trying to figure out if Plumlee's playing, because to me that will matter towards the total. Obviously, I think UCF would be the side that I would go personally.
All right, man. Let's move along. Fresno, Boise. I think Fresno's playing better football. I think they're playing better football right now. 30-0. I know where the game is, Dan. I don't know. I wonder if that has an effect on Fresno now. They're getting 3 points. I like it. This is interesting. And it's early in the week, so I kind of want, I want to digest it a little bit more. But, again, the way that Fresno has played of late, they could have tanked it and they didn't. That has me thinking that they're motivated, man.
So Fresno, to me, first off, this obviously is a rematch from early in the season at Boise, where Fresno lost that game 40-20. Let's remember, though, Fresno did not have Jake Haener that game. That's a huge difference in that game. Now, to be fair, that was, I think, Taylen Green's, one of his first games, too. So, he wasn't as well-versed in the system and probably wasn't as comfortable. But, Fresno had Logan Fife that game, not Jake Haener. Massive drop-off. So, that's number one. Number two here is that, Boise, for as well as they played, and they really did play well down the stretch here, right? When they came up against teams that, that ran the ball hard against them, they were okay. They really did do a pretty decent job, right? They found a way to beat Wyoming and Laramie. They had the most incredible cover I've ever seen last week in the most ridiculous way possible. They beat Air Force on the road. When they played teams that maybe they just, they could air the ball out a little bit, Oregon State, one of those teams, BYU, one of those teams, they did struggle in those situations and actually ended up losing both those games. Now, losing in Corvallis is not a shocker to me, especially opening the year. But, yeah, look, I think that, there was a bit of a surprise, at times at Boise this year. I think there was a bit of a letdown. And the way Fresno played, let's remember, they lost in Corvallis, right? Or sorry, they lost at home against Oregon State. And they went on the road for three straight, USC, UConn, Boise State. They have the Haener injury in the USC game. They get blown out. They lose at UConn after losing Haener. And then they go on the road to Boise. And that UConn was in the sandwich spot between USC and Boise. And they go on the road to Boise and they lose there. Three straight road games. They lose them all. They lose four straight. They start 1-4. Looks like the season's over. They rebound. They win 7 straight. They go 8-4 on the year. Now they're in the title game. I go Fresno. I agree with you, Joe. I think they're the hotter team. I think right now they're the better team. This one opened 3 at Circa, got up to 4 some places, 3.5. I played the 3.5 on Fresno. That's the way I would go. Total, I got nothing for you in this game. Nothing.
All right, bro. Let's move it along. And one more. Woo! Purdue, Michigan. Dan? 16 is the number.
16.5. There's both 16 and 16.5 in market right now.
51.5. Purdue's a feisty team, man, that can play tough. Can they keep it within 20? I like Purdue, man. I like what they have to offer. I just think that Michigan, the role they're on, the Kid Edwards. I mean, what's the deal with Blake Kerr? Is he done or could he play? I mean,
he didn't play, obviously. Yeah, I think he had like one rush in the one carry. No,
Edwards was great. Edwards was great.
Yep.
I mean, talk about closing out a game, right?
Yep. Or 6 yards.
I couldn't believe McCarthy played the way he did. He was just cool, calm, collect. I mean, he can do that against Purdue, dude. But I just think that Purdue's offense is all they have, right? At some point, they're probably going to lose by two touchdowns. It's just the number is 16.5. Would you roll with it? That's the question. 51, though, too. That's the total, 51.5.
So I'm going PP here. Give me Purdue plus the 16.5.
Whoa!
Nah, it shouldn't be a surprise, right?
I think I've kind we'll of done get this to 17, Dan. I do.
I think it will, too. But again, we do the podcast on Mondays, and unfortunately, that's when we're picking the game. So, look, I'm taking Purdue with the points here. This is Michigan's biggest game of the year. They, the game before against Illinois, they should have lost that game. Should have lost. Got lucky with the refs. Call it how it is. We talked about this on Saturday. Got a little bit of ref luck there, but they won. Okay. And they went into Ohio State, and they fucking killed them. They killed them in Columbus. That game was not competitive after the second half. It was not. And even in the first half, you could feel Ohio State was walking on eggshells there. I bet Michigan second half pretty big. I liked Michigan. After that, I told you I bet Michigan plus 8.5. The early part of the game, I was concerned about Corum and his health status. I expect Corum to be the same as he was last week. I don't think that he's right. I think that he tried to play in that game. And I don't think that I think he is going to try once again to suit up here, but I don't think he's going to be effective. You saw he wasn't effective last, with the cutting, and that usually just doesn't come back after a week. Usually that's a 3-4-5 week injury. So to me, this is a team that, probably won't have that. They're coming off their biggest game, massive letdown spot for them. And I think Purdue the last 3 weeks is really starting to put it together, both offensively and defensively. They beat Illinois on the road after the very disappointing Iowa game. They beat Northwestern in a huge letdown game in sandwich spot. They go on the road, they beat Indiana, and they win and you're in after Iowa loses. And look, I think this is a team that absolutely has the chance. I don't think they're going to pull the upset, but I think they're going to make the Michigan Wolverines work this game. I think Michigan is probably going to be beat up after that game, probably just relieved to have won that game and be in where they are. I think even if Michigan loses this game, I still think that they're in. I still think that they're in. So I just don't know how big of a game this is for them. I mean, it's big, but it ain't nearly as big as people are making out to be. I think they're automatically in. So, yeah, look, I like Purdue with the points here. I think they keep it close. They have the offense to do it. They do kind of remind me a little bit of Maryland, where they can kind of air it out when they need to. Michigan did struggle a little bit, versus teams who can air it out this year. Maryland was the game that I looked to on their schedule and say, man, Michigan really struggled in that game early in the year. I think Purdue is built like Maryland. I do. And so to me, this is a very similar type game. And a big spot coming off a major, major upset. Give me Purdue and the points here, Joe.
All right, Dan. I'm going to take the over 48 right now in the Coastal Troy game. So I want to give that one out as a PB.
Okay.
It's the lowest total on the board. I know there's the McCall question mark. I think that one gets over 48. And I got two more. I want to take Fresno. Right now I can get it at 140. Forget about the 3 points, Dan. Let's lay it. Plus 140, Fresno.
Plus 140? Okay.
That's no three. I want the outright 140.
Yep.
So that's what I got. And then I got some circled for the weekend.
Okay. I have a few circled for the weekend, too. We can talk about that Southern Jackson State game during the weekend, too. We're not going to touch on that one right now. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a big game, whatever. Still, we will touch on a lot. But there's a bunch of FCS games this weekend. We can touch on those this
right,
weekend.
I love FCS.
Yep, there's a bunch of games. We can touch on them this weekend. We'll get more into that Akron game, obviously, the week comes up. Well, obviously, all these games. I mean, there's only, 10 games on the board or so. We'll touch on all these games Saturday. And when do we want to do the NFL podcast? This Wednesday, Thursday? We'll talk about it.
Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday should be fun.
Okay, maybe Wednesday. So, yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll see where we're going there. But, big day for big Saturday, obviously. And then, obviously, we'll do the NFL this week and have it out earlier than we did last week. Sorry about that. It's my fault. My fault, not Joe's fault. Joe took the time out of his schedule and recorded. It's my fault. So
it all worked. It's all worked out. Everyone, hold your horses. By the way, the Atlanta Falcons and Marcus Mariota, dude, that was just putrid. It's the one thing, one NFL game that just took me down, Dan, and I just, it was in a heap of crap. It was a heap
promise,
of.
Promise you, it still was not as bad as it was on State Bus.
Oh, yeah. there was some really, there was some bad, there was some funny ones.
Yep.
Well,
what are you gonna do?
All right, dude. That's it. This has been another edition of our college football podcast.
All right, who you got? Good luck. We'll talk to you this weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.